Good afternoon. Welcome to the Healthy Aging Show. I'm Dennis Batuas.
I'm Dawn Del Greco.
And sometime in the show, he might be on. Oh, John might be on.
Oh, be nice to John.
We're here pushing the button.
Button pusher. We are talking about healthy aging, intelligent aging, lessons for life. We're brought to you by Comfort Keepers nationally and in Lower Fairfield County. We help you stay in your own home. 203-629-5029. And we have a soap opera star.
Well,
I'm not talking about you.
That's right.
I mean, the drama in life, you never got on a soap opera.
I'm a daily star.
Martin West was on a soap opera. Martin West is our guest, and he is a documentary filmmaker and actor, and he has been starred in General Hospital and As the World Turns, and he's made
19 movies.
And he has been named the 2010 Connecticut Outstanding Filmmaker, and he is right now finished a project called Years in the Making, A Journey into Late Life Creativity, where he documents the lives of 50 Westport, Connecticut artists, all of significant noteworthiness, the professional artists. This is something that's going to be aired on Connecticut Public Television as a one-hour documentary and probably will go from there to national syndication.
And these artists are still working.
And these artists are still working.
Still working, still creating.
70 to 105 years old. Martin, thank you very much for coming on. Don't nod. Come up to the mic and say hello.
Hello, I'm one of the...
Isn't he fascinating to listen to?
Thank you. And my first three documentaries, I don't know how I ever got these assignments, but when Lifetime started their intimate portrait series, said, "Oh, do you want to do the first three?" I said, "Yeah, who might they be?" Audrey Hepburn, Betty Davis, and Sally Fields. So I jumped right into it, and it really worked. But when I came here to Westport, I looked around and saw all these artists everywhere, and yet I saw the artists of the past century, the 1900s, dying one after another. There was nothing shown of them. As I mentioned, there wasn't the technology to really do much, but all we had was a body of work, nothing even to hear them talk or to espouse what they feel about the whole thing. So just before the millennium, one guy, his name was Eric von Schmidt. Eric von Schmidt, he was a musician, an artist, and the son of...
Mrs. von Schmidt.
Mr. von Schmidt, a very, very, very good artist. And we really wanted to have him be the first one of the old school who we could interview and do this with. But lo and behold, Eric died just before we were able to. We had him set up. He was going to come in the next day for his interview, and he didn't make it. And that's when my passion really started. I was angry.
You weren't gonna lose the other opportunities.
I wasn't gonna lose the other opportunity. That's absolutely right. And so that's when it really started, and it was around 2000.
You know, as you were talking, I'm thinking, what would it be like if we could have gone back to some of the masters of the past and had someone film their life and what motivated them and how they got to where they are, because who knows, of the 50 people that you filmed, one of them or more might be a very noteworthy artist 100 years from now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
When I was a kid, one of my favorite shows was Biography. I loved Biography.
Well, good show.
How long, Martin, did it take you to complete the project from beginning to end? I know that the fundraising was your most passionate and favorite part.
We'll
deal with that in another show.
I think it took 4 years.
4 years. And that was your passion.
4 years, yeah.
You were following the passions of others.
Yeah.
With yours.
It was a love of life, and I should mention these ladies. I had three ladies working with me that were, I couldn't have been done without them. And Anne Chernow, my significant other, she was the art person. She knew all and everything about art. And that, without her, I wouldn't know where I was. There was a lady, Her name is Kristen Fox. Kristen did everything. She did, but she basically took care of the bookwork, which was a very difficult assignment. And she was everywhere. She shot with us. She was everywhere with us, driving when we had to shoot at the top of cars. And finally, Ada Lambert. Ada Lambert used to teach at the Norwalk Community College. She used to teach there. Teach English, and she was basically our writer. I said, Ada, look what we have. It's like tons of film all over the floor. Okay, I guess I'll have to, let's see. This looks like it might be first. This looks like it might be.
She had to make some kind of sense out of what you've done.
She did. She wrote a very, very good script.
Right. You know, Dawn, you had so many questions that we were going to go over, and this is going to take 50 years in the making, too, but there's one thing that I did want to touch on is the physical challenges that these 50 artists had to deal with. Because just because they were creative, just because they were passionate and had great talent, didn't mean that they were exempt from the aches, pains, and infirmaries of growing older. And these people stayed with what they wanted to do despite all of these obstacles. And some of them had to be fairly intense and very difficult. Were there any that you're laughing? I'm sure that there were many stories, but give us one of someone who really was overcoming adversity in the process of their art.
Me. I didn't have a help. I had to carry my boom. I had to carry my camera. And a terrific fellow, David Rubenstein. Every time I go to the library, he's there doing something. And every time he's there, I'm lugging stuff in or lugging stuff out. At one point, I slipped and dropped a hole. It was the loudest sound since Hiroshima, I think. It was crashing down the steps and all my, nothing got hurt. But it was tough moving the cords around. And I wouldn't let any of the girls do that. They had their own stuff to do. And I was, with the budget we had, I was too cheap to hire or get an intern. So I basically did it all myself.
Well,
I found it interesting, too, that some of the artists would specifically comment on life changes, you know, loss of a partner or a family member. Yeah. Another one specifically, result of a stroke, an aphasia, cancer, general aging. But all of them, the center core was still very young and vital. And the exterior, if you will, the chassis might have some age on it, but it didn't stop anyone.
No, you know, and so many of them, I remember just closing my eyes and listening to the voices, and so many of the voices were young.
Mm-hmm.
And these were coming from 80 and 90-year-old people. And you'd think that you were talking to someone that was in their 50s or 60s, but that's where they were. They had put themselves back to an age that they viewed themselves as.
That's very important.
You got to look in the mirror and you don't see your age. You see how you feel.
However, let me add to that. No one looked their age. When the number is underneath the person, there's no clue as to what their age is. They look a lot younger.
But there's something telling in that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? If you did it today, well, let's say we finished it around four years ago. If you put those people back on the same day, they wouldn't seem a day older. I mean, they really are. And think, one word in that documentary that made that all possible was the word passion. These people have the passion to do their work, to want to be in a place and not remember where they were for the last 2 hours. And people who had motivation. I'm shooting a lady this afternoon. She just returned from Lithuania, and she went into the area where the Nazis had murdered so many Lithuanians. She had so many. She's at a gallery now, and I'm going to shoot it for her this afternoon. But she has passion for that. She has. It makes her alive, you know, no matter how old she is. I want to go back to my original thing about going all over the world looking for research to this. And lo and behold, it just came down to Westport and Weston, and why not? I mean, what I was trying to do was not show the, well, how can I say this? I wasn't there to make a point about, oh, look how many artists there are here. Look how many artists there are here. But the first thing on my mind was, gosh, I wonder if, believe it or not, Ripley knows that. Has there ever been a community with at least 50
that much talent? That much talent.
Yeah. See, 100 years ago, we were known.
Westport is an artist's enclave, isn't
yes, it?
Yes,
yeah.
It has been.
It's always
years,
been known
yes.
for that.
It's a haven. And,
right.
And it's always, and until somewhere around, just before the millennium, the developers started moving in and it got very expensive for.
Instead art. Of art being the commodity, real estate became the commodity.
Mm-hmm. I think at one point, too, right. Yul Brynner out here as well as Fitzgerald? It was the summer, sort of a summer place you'd go to.
Right.
Yes.
As an alternative to New York City and okay. certainly commutable during the year as well.
All right.
Yes. Well, that all kind of ties in. Around the turn of the century, this last one, I and somebody else realized.
Now, the turn of the century, let's define.
This last.
Yeah, let's define the century.
The millennium.
Okay, fine. He's old, but he's not that old.
10 years ago. And I shot a movie called Gathering of Glory, and it was about the past century, the 1900s,
okay.
so to speak. And all the significant people that lived here, actors and writers and artists and people like that. And
again, it was about Westport?
And it was all Westport.
Okay.
Weston. And what happened when I started researching, that happened really quickly. There was nothing about these people. They had a body of work. We didn't have the technology to show them in their studio. We didn't have...
You couldn't showcase them the way you can today.
No interviews. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. And I thought that was very interesting. The word that started coming up to me in bed, out of bed, everywhere, was the word archive. Artists really like archive. As an actor has maybe some celluloid behind them that will always be there if it's done right and doesn't disappear. But artists really, they're going to leave an archive.
It's your accomplishment in life.
And that archive is what I do. And what I've been trying to hammer into the heads of everybody in that is of some know in Westport to really think about that word and get as much on everybody as you possibly can while they're still here.
Exactly.
And I used 70 years as my cutoff. And 70 years up till, it was 105? I think we have somebody over. Over 100. No, it went all the way up. It's high. There are 50 artists who are 70 years and older. Right.
Okay.
And we thought we'd start out with 70 and have accomplished 100%, 99% of what we originally started. I think one person passed away on us, and that a couple of people right after we shot them. But
the age group again was 70 to 105?
About 70 to 105.
That's
yeah.
phenomenal.
Yep. Still working.
Well, but that's the juice that keeps them going.
That's the juice that keeps them going, yes.
And that's the lesson that so many people haven't learned, and this is what we want to share with them, is that if you have a passion and you can engage that passion, that's the purpose in life. You've got all of this experience behind you, and if you have something that you really like to do, or even if you don't even know you like to do it, but you have the time, don't fritter away the time. Do something productive with it.
I was very surprised. Everyone interviewed, you cannot tell the age of the person. You really can't.
We're talking with Martin West, who is a documentary filmmaker who made Years in the Making, A Journey into Late Life Creativity. And we will be back.